Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review. Instead of hosting the Democratic National Convention, Milwaukee played a minor role. But what did Democratic speakers say about the city and Wisconsin? Big name Republicans stumped the state, saying they weren't afraid to come to Wisconsin. What's the absentee ballot timeline leading up to the November 3 election? And saying he's tired of apologizing for the UW system, President Tommy Thompson wants free tuition for middle-class families expanded to all campuses. Rewind, your week in review for August 21.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
J.R., we've got to talk about the Democratic National Convention, which is kind of sort of maybe a little bit in Milwaukee. I want to ask you this question first. Do you see any contradiction? The Democrats didn't bring their big-name speakers to Milwaukee, yet yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, former AG Holder, told the Wisconsin delegation, obviously video online, it's all riding on Wisconsin. Do you see any contradiction there? You don't come to our state and then you blame a potential Trump reelection on Wisconsin. Do you see a contradiction?
Well, it ups the stakes for Democrats to show they're committed to Wisconsin this fall. And, you know, I've asked about this a number of times. You know, does Joe Biden have to visit Wisconsin at some point this fall, even if just for a day, to symbolically prove he's committed? And, you know, I get misreactions to that. Of course, the Republicans would say, yes, there's going to be a strong contrast with Donald Trump and Mike Pence and others coming to Wisconsin in person, which we saw this week, versus Biden not being here. Other way from Democrats is, look, the people who really are kind of in tune with Joe Biden are worried about COVID-19. They don't like the president's response to COVID-19. They see the visits as a potentially not smart thing to do in light of the pandemic. So they appreciate the safety that the more cautious approach that Biden's taking. You know, we'll see. But I think the real proof will be, what's the investment in Wisconsin in terms of TV ads, infrastructure? Because don't forget, I know that it's such an easy thing to bring up that Hillary Clinton didn't come to Wisconsin in 2016 post-primary, which is true, and it was a mistake. But the bigger mistake from people I talked to was the lack of investment in Wisconsin in terms of TV ads and those kinds of things versus other places. Clinton played for a blowout, and playing for a blowout, she neglected taking care of her base and making sure she had Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania truly wrapped up. And in all, less than, was it 70,000 votes cost her the election because of those three states?
Yes.
So I don't think Democrats make that mistake again. At the same time, if you're Biden, don't you want to make sure, just come just to make sure you got everything wrapped up here, that your people say, okay, yeah, he really cares about Wisconsin.
Well, I really feel that Mr. Biden, now that he's a nominee, has got to make one and perhaps even two visits to Wisconsin just to atone for Ms. Clinton's failure to come back. We're going to show speakers both from the Democratic Convention with Mr. Biden and three Wisconsin Democrats. And their second topic will be speakers from four Republicans. So let's hear from Mr. Biden, Congressman Moore, Senator Baldwin, and Governor Evers, please.
We can choose a path of becoming angrier, less hopeful, more divided, a path of shadow and suspicion, or we can choose a different path and together take this chance to heal, to reform, to unite, a path of hope and light. This is a life-changing election. Character is on the ballot. Compassion is on the ballot. Decency, science, democracy, they're all on the ballot. Who we are as a nation, what we stand for, and most importantly, who we want to be, that's all on the ballot. And the choice could not be more clear. This is our moment. This is our mission. May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight.
We gather, unified in spirit, unified in our values and purpose to heal divisions and together move the nation confidently into a prosperous, inclusive future. Tonight, we are gathered to reclaim the soul of America.
Healthcare professionals who don't have the protective gear they need. Young people whose asthma will get worse as our air quality does, workers who are afraid of losing their jobs. Each story begs this simple, fundamental question, a question that gets to the heart of the choice in this election. What kind of country do we want to be? That's why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the only answer in this election.
This November is about returning kindness, respect, empathy, and civility back to the White House. And that's who Joe and Kamala are, because they know, especially during challenging times like these, the problems we face can only be solved by all of us together. Holy mackerel, folks. Let's get to work.
JR, I want to wrap up this segment with two questions, I guess. Number one, all this speculation of Milwaukee hosting the 2024, that's just so far away. That's an eternity away. So before you talk about that, the idea floated by Speaker Pelosi, if Mr. Biden wins, have a victory party in Milwaukee. What are your thoughts, number one, on 2024 and a potential Milwaukee victory party as a consolation prize?
I don't know. It was just something she kind of threw out in the breakfast. I was watching it, so not sure what to think, because what's going to change between now and November in terms of COVID-19? So at what point is it safe, I guess, would have to be figured out. As far as 2024, I still maintain from talking to people that, you know, it's such a long ways away that it's a nice thing to say, to, hey, we're sorry it didn't work out this time, but we really care about you. But who's going to matter in 2024? I mean, Wisconsin could fall off the map. It could be about all about Florida, Arizona, et cetera. And two, don't forget, we've got a really mixed record for the parties that, like, win the states in which they have their conventions. Democrats were in Philadelphia 4 years ago, lost Pennsylvania. So, you know, it's not like it guarantees you anything. So, yeah, I guess it's nice to say to people in Milwaukee, hey, we're sorry. And, you know, maybe we'll come back in 4 years. But I still think it's 2 years away before they really make a decision. Oh, by the way, Milwaukee would have to apply again to host it. So it's not like they just give it to you. You have to put together a host committee, put together a bid. Again, go back to donors and say, hey, we know you pointed up this money for this convention that happened this time. Do you want to dig deep again to support this bid this time? It could be a tough sell.
Okay. New topic, JR. Let's talk about how the Republicans actively worked Wisconsin the week that the Democratic convention was supposed to be in Milwaukee but wasn't. Okay, the president was here on Monday. The keynote speaker on Monday was Michelle Obama. Eric Trump, president's son, was here on Tuesday talking to the Milwaukee police, as we'll hear in a little bit. The keynote speakers then was Jill Biden and included Senate Majority Leader, Schumer. And then on Wednesday, Vice President Pence, my heir, came to Darien. And who spoke then? Of course, Mr. Obama, former President Obama, and the vice presidential nominee, Kamala Harris. The message there, we Wisconsins are not afraid about coming to Wisconsin. How effective do you think it was? And then we're going to hear from four of the Republican speakers.
Well, it appeals to their base. And again, there's a divide politically about the view of COVID-19. And it shows up in the Marquette poll that we see. Percentage of people who say they're really worried about COVID-19. There's a partisan divide. Now, there are a number of factors that play into that, including the president's own tone toward COVID-19 in the early stages of this pandemic. So that's part of it. Also, you know, I don't know that the president's taking any attention away from the national stories about the Democratic convention, but in Wisconsin media, he's definitely getting a little bit of play right next to the stories about what's happening, especially like they like to contrast Republicans of the president, vice president were here, the Democrats were not. They're going to get digs in. It's a version of political trolling, essentially, saying, hey, you know, these guys won't show up and we will. It's an easy hit, and it worked in a lot of ways.
Okay. And we gave you some segments from Democrats talking at the DNC. Now let's hear from President Trump, Vice President Pence, Eric Trump, and a radio interview with Ron Johnson. Please.
I just want to thank the incredible people of Wisconsin. You're a state that, despite everything that they were saying, well, Wisconsin can't be won. Guess what? And I think we're way far ahead. I do believe we're way far ahead where we were. If you look back 4 years, I think we have much more spirit. This has been an incredible experience for me, getting to know you. I've been here a lot. We won the state. We weren't expected to win the state. We've been great for each other. We've been great for each other. It's really, you know, it's a partnership in a sense, but we've been great for each other. We brought a lot of business to the state. We're bringing a lot more business to the state, whether it's the ships or the crops or any one of so many different things.
It really is great to be here with so many friends. I got to tell you, you all are a sight for sore eyes. Because I've been having to watch the Democrat National Convention the last 2 days. And I did hear the Democrats were supposed to have their national convention in Wisconsin, but they couldn't make it. Of course, that's really nothing new. You know, I heard on the way here that Joe Biden hasn't actually been to Wisconsin in 659 days. Get used to seeing us, because President Donald Trump and I are going to be back to Wisconsin again and again to earn 4 more years in the White House.
I think the American people should be asking some very serious questions of why Vice President Biden isn't more available. And the fact that they are hiding Vice President Biden, I think, is very troubling and raises very serious issues in and of itself.
You know, you watch the DNC convention. I had to watch it last night. As boring as some of these people were, it's pretty hard to watch in all the fairness. It's tough to watch. And not once did they ever come out and say, you know what, what's happening in Portland, what's happening in Seattle, what's happening in Chicago is wrong. I didn't even talk about that. They talked about these nonsense little sound bites, right? You heard it, you know, the fabric of our society. They didn't say anything meaningful. They didn't come out. They didn't protect law enforcement. They didn't protect Border Patrol. They didn't protect our troopers or our sheriffs or our PDs in these cities. Biden's been a politician longer than I've been alive, if you can possibly believe it, right? And then he comes out and he blames the problems of this nation on my father. Where were you? My father's been in office for 3 years, right? 3.5 years. Where was this guy the other 44 years?
JR, before we end this segment, I want to look forward a little bit to the next week's virtual Republican National Convention. Here's my question. Am I right that Senator Ron Johnson has said he will not be attending that, right?
He said he doesn't expect to have or doesn't think he should have a real role because it's for people who are up for re-election this fall.
Okay, then my question is, have you gotten any information on who Congressman Grossman, Stile, Gallagher, or the retiring Mr. Sensenbrenner are expected to speak to the online RNC?
I have seen zero from the RNC about who's speaking, period. So I can't tell you if there are any Wisconsin speakers right now. I don't know what's been settled, but at least in my little shop, we're not getting any notice from them about who they have the lineup so far.
Okay, thanks. Okay, now let's turn to the Elections Commission, which last night voted 5-1 to keep rapper and entertainer and I think clothing designer Kanye West off the November 3 independent presidential ballot. You covered that, JR. Just let me give you a summary, then I'll turn it over to you. 5-1 vote that his Kanye West and his birthday party will not be an independent candidate on the November 3 ballot. Commission majority said that they missed by seconds or a minute the 5 p.m. August 4 filing deadline to file 2,000 signatures. We should note that attorneys that have worked to help Republicans tried to get Kanye West on the ballot. The commission deadlocked 3-3 on the Green Party candidate. Let me be sure I get his name right, Howie Hawkins. And when I asked Reed Magny of the commission today the status, the motion was, should the Green Party candidate Hawkins be on the ballot? It failed 3-3. As of this moment, Green Party candidate Hawkins not on the ballot. Okay, JR, you covered it. Fill in what I didn't get to.
Well, I don't know the commission actually voted on what time it received West's nomination papers. So I don't know if it's actually seconds or minutes, but what they did establish was 5 o'clock means 5 o'clock, not 1 second after, not 14 seconds after, not 59 seconds after, as the West campaign tried to argue. Because remember, we have this timeline of West campaign walked into the building, the House Elections Commission, after 5 o'clock, the dead papers are due. They then had to walk down a hallway, go up a very slow elevator, go into the commission office, and then put the papers on the desk and turn them over. On top of that, the commission noted in its summary of what happened, they didn't have the nomination papers properly numbered when they got there. So even getting to the building late, it took them some time to number them, one through whatever, before the commission could actually take physical possession. At no time did I recall the commission say, we got them at 5-0 blank. But what was clear, they actually even brought in two Elections Commission staffers to say, okay, what time did you do this? What time was it on your watch? And they testified what time they saw. It was clear it was after 5 o'clock. A couple of things to note, this could be challenged in court. We're waiting to see right now if that's going to happen. Two, the commission doesn't have an official timepiece. There's no like countdown in the office of when they, you know, cross the threshold that things are late. And also, they never have people do this. This is rare that somebody show up at the last second, actually after the deadline, and turn them in. So now it goes to a court. What's a court going to do with this? I don't know. A couple of things to note. 5-1, two Republican appointees joined the three Democrats, so it was a bipartisan vote. Two, Bob Spendell, the one Republican who voted against the motion, who wanted to put Westman nomination on the ballot, argued at April meeting that 5 o'clock is a hard deadline, that people that got there 1 minute late, tough luck. I'm paraphrasing what he said in April. Yesterday, he basically bent over backward trying to argue that there should be adjustments for the West campaign because of COVID-19, because of other things. And his argument was that because he's a black candidate and what happened in Milwaukee during the April election with long lines affecting a lot of minority voters, there's even more incentive to allow him on the ballot. Dean Knutson, another GOP appointee, said that candidates should be treated the same regardless of race or characteristics or anything else. It doesn't matter about that. But that was a, kind of the crux of Spendell's argument. It's an interesting change of tone from him compared to April when he was pretty much a hardcore 5 o'clock is 5 o'clock, period.
Right. And I find that interesting. Let's actually take a look at some of the quotes from Mr. Spendell and Mr. Knutson. From Mr. Spendell, what's next in trying to suppress a black vote, he asked. Mr. West is an African-American candidate. We should do all we can. After the terrible treatment that the black population received during the April 3 election, that we give them a choice. From Mr. Spendell, he was the only one to vote to put Kanye on the ballot. And then Mr. Knutson, former mayor of Hudson, former state representative, former member of the Joint Finance Committee. It seems to me that everything that starts with a 4 is before 5 o'clock, and 5 o'clock is the timeline. I do not feel that they timely filed, a reference to obviously to Kanye West. Legal challenges, we're not lawyers. We've said that often enough. Could it delay the printing of ballots, JR?
The deadline we face right now is September 1st. Ballots should begin to start printing September 16th. County clerks must deliver them to municipal clerks September 17th. Muni clerks must mail them to people who have an absentee ballot request on file. Now, let's take the 30,000-foot view of what happened here yesterday. In addition to West, the commission deadlocked on the Green Party candidate, but what it basically said was they certified around 1,700 signatures saying that these ones are okay. So another 1,800 we're not sure about. We can't reach a conclusion about that. Why that's key is you need 2,000 signatures, valid ones, to make it on the ballot. There's a question about the Green Party candidate's filings because they didn't list the correct address at some point, the vice presidential nominee. So they could have cleared that all up by simply filing a response to the challenge that was filed, the nomination papers, failed to do that. That's often fatal, these cases, Knutson said. Now the question is what court does, but remember, they also put libertarian candidates on the ballot. Go back to 2016. Libertarian candidate got 100,000 votes roughly. The Green Party candidate got about 1% of the vote, 20-some thousand votes. So you have a libertarian on who oftentimes peels votes away from Republicans. You don't have a Green Party candidate who often peels votes away from Democrats. You don't have Kanye West, who Republicans think could peel votes away from Joe Biden among the black community. Now, there are Democrats who think it's offensive that Republicans assume just because you have a black entertainer on the ballot, therefore black voters will go for him and not for Joe Biden, but that's besides the point. But if you add up no Kanye, no Greens, plus libertarians, it was good for Joe Biden. Now the question is, again, what will court do? The court puts them back on, it changes the dynamic. Okay, but you're talking fewer choices, it means more likely that people don't like Donald Trump might gravitate toward Joe Biden. That's better for Biden.
Okay, understand. Okay, new segment. We'll call this the public service segment. With all the debate over absentee ballots, I asked the Elections Commission for a timeline because likely millions of absentee ballots are going to be cast in Wisconsin for the November 3 election. So let's just walk through that quickly. September 1, the Elections Commission mails information and application for ballots to 2.6 million voters. September 17 is the deadline for municipal clerks to mail absentee ballots to voters with requests on file. And let's highlight right now three ways to make sure your absentee ballot is counted, to get it back to the polls. Number one, you can rely on the U.S. Postal Service. Number two, you can in-person drop it off with your local clerk. Number three, you can get it personally to the polling place 8 p.m. on November 3rd. Next deadline on the Election Commission timeline, October 20th. First day of in-person absentee voting in clerk's office or at a satellite location. Now, here was a note from the Elections Commission when I asked them for the timeline. They really hope that those Wisconsin voters who want to vote absentee take advantage of this October 20 deadline to act on it. And here's what they're saying. The Postal Service is saying 1 week in transit, 1 week to the voter, 1 week back to the local clerk if you rely on the Postal Service. So the Election Commission is strongly urging that if you want an absentee ballot, October 20. However, the legal deadline to request an absentee ballot by mail is October 29, only a few hours from the November 3 election. And then finally, I'll wrap up the timeline this way. For your absentee ballot to be counted, it absolutely has to be in the hand of your local clerk when polls close 8 p.m. on November 3rd. So that's my public service timeline, JR. Any PSs before we go to the next topic?
A federal judge could upend your whole timeline. We have combined cases that are pending in federal court right now in Madison. You got to watch that. We will deliver more PSAs about that decision as it comes down and what it means. But there's that. Two, we have communities who are going toward more drop boxes, secure drop boxes. The city of Milwaukee, for example, Mayor Barrett on a delegate call this week with the convention, said they're going to have 15 new drop boxes around the city. I called the local election commission, told me that they will be in secure places, will be under 24-hour video surveillance. The big difference is they'll be available 24 hours a day. The drop boxes before were in places they had limited hours. That'll be a change. Third, if you are voting absentee, I can't stress this enough, vote as quickly as you can. Now, it's a disadvantage because you might not see all the debates. You might see all the information you want, but if you want your ballot to count, do not wait until the last minute to request it and try and mail it back. That's not going to work. And oh, by the way, the undercurrent to this is the ongoing controversy about what's going on the Postal Service. Is there an intentional slowdown from the Trump administration? Is this a wild conspiracy? U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is having a hearing about this as we speak, I believe. There are more hearings coming up in Washington, a lot of attention to that topic. So something to keep your eye on, what happens with the Postal Service and how does that play out in terms of people's attitudes toward voting by mail.
Okay. New subject. Former Governor Tommy Thompson became president of the UW system on July 1. He has spent 6 weeks. We know Tommy. He's pretty aggressive. The term bull in the china shop, the term rather ask for forgiveness and permission. But anyway, he proposed, and the Board of Regents unanimously adopted, a proposed new state budget. Now we're talking the next budget cycle, July of 2021 through June of 2023, that would increase the state GPR aid by 3.5%, $95.7 million. I looked it up, the Fiscal Bureau totals. Each year in the current budget, the UW system is getting general funds of $1.12 billion. He wants to expand the tuition promise. Now that's only on the Madison campus, which offers free tuition to those students with household incomes, adjusted household incomes, of $60,000 or less. He wants to put a great deal of emphasis and forgive loans on training up the next generation of teachers, hire 20 more ag extension agents, and expand the educational opportunities in prison, something he's cared about. His quote was, "We have to renew the Wisconsin idea for the 21st century by making the UW system more relevant and relatable." And he said, "I'm sick of apologizing for the UW." Pretty aggressive. Let's point out, JR, that the Governor Evers appointees voted for this budget. What's your take? Is it former Governor Thompson versus Governor Evers? Your thoughts?
A couple of things. Don't forget, Tommy also wants to allow UW to start to borrow money.
Yes,
borrowing authority, which would be significant.
Borrow up to $1 billion. Do I have that right, JR?
Something like that.
Okay, excuse me. Go ahead.
I don't know if I view it as Ebers versus Thompson at all. They seem to be on the same page about when to fund UW. The question becomes, barring something miraculous this fall, Republicans will still be in charge of the legislature come January. So how are they going to react to this spending increase, especially in terms of our difficult budget we have coming ahead? Two, yes, Tommy Thompson is a Republican. He calls himself a conservative. His brand of Republican conservatism isn't the same brand that now walks the halls of the Capitol. It's a much different world than it was 20 years ago. Also, don't forget, I don't know if there's anybody left in the Republican caucuses, in the Assembly at least, I'm pretty sure there's none, a handful in the Senate, who were here when Tommy Thompson was governor. It's just a different world. They haven't really worked with Tommy Thompson. They don't have that relationship. So he's still got a solid job to do with Republicans come spring. So that's something to watch, I think, about this. How can Tommy Thompson not just put this out there, but pitch this budget and sell it to Republicans who don't remember the Tommy days like you do?
But he's still got the passion. He's still got the fight. And now his cause is the UW system. So it's just going to be incredibly interesting to watch. Okay, final subject, JR. You and I have been watching for 3 years this debate over closing Lincoln Hills, the juvenile prison. Then there was this plan. I think it was Governor Walker signed off on it. We'll have, let me get it right, 2 new state-run juvenile centers for the most violent juvenile offenders, 4 county-run, and the counties would be Dane, Milwaukee, Brown, Racine for less violent offenders, closing of Lincoln Hills Youth Prison by January. That ain't going to happen. This week, I just want to, as an example of the uncertainty on this issue, Dane County pulled out of the proposed agreement, citing, the quote from County Executive Parisi, what we're seeing is a lack of state government follow through. Everyone has to do their part. And other officials in these other counties have also questioned cost overruns, state aid, COVID, can we trust the state word? This is the final topic for today, JR. We've been looking at it a long time. What are your thoughts?
Don't forget, Milwaukee County also all but pulled out, too.
Yes.
My colleague, Pat, wrote a story this on last week, that those two counties, by not participating, not going forward, full bore, they basically have crippled the entire movement away from Lincoln Hills to this different system. Now, I'm not saying it's their fault that's happening. They've got legitimate questions about how this is going to be funded, how it's going to work. But you look at it in light of the pandemic situation we have going on, it's kind of like pushed the back burner. But this is an issue that is not resolved. It's not going to be anytime soon. And they got to come up with a better plan financially to make this work for everybody. Now, you've seen the Capitol for a long time. There's still time to salvage a deal. There always is. But where do you find that money in light of what's going on financially with the budget? We won't see until the end of this month, probably, how deep the hole is for the 19-21 budget. That hole will shape the debate about the 21-23 budget. So we could be in all kinds of hurt right now. And I don't know if we're going to find the money to make this happen.
Okay. You're right, JR. The next thing we're going to get is actual tax collections, general fund tax collections for fiscal 20, which ended on June 30th, of course, and projections for fiscal 21, which ends on June 30th of 2021. That'll frame what you and I think will have to be a budget repair bill, correct?
Well, it depends. We have a cushion in the rainy day fund. We started with a huge cushion to start this budget. So I don't get the impression that the 19-20 fiscal year is going to be a problem. It's the 2021 fiscal year. How deep is that hole going to be? Ebers is taking measures, already trying to save money. He's ordered a couple rounds of cuts. That might help. Then the question becomes, can they do it all in one shot with the next budget? Can they take care, if they do get that early? We'll need a budget repair bill. There are all kinds of ways you kind of move the levers of spending in government to try and rein things in. And oh, by the way, what are the Fed's going to do? Now, right now, the Feds are not doing a whole lot. They're in the stalemate about this kind of next COVID-19 bill. But if they can reach some kind of deal that includes money for local governments and state governments, that could ease the pain for Wisconsin. But there's no guarantee of that. Democrats are pushing the idea of helping out locals. Republicans are saying, hey, we spent too much as it is. So there's a big divide there.
Yeah.
But that would be welcome relief for Governor Evers to craft this next budget if they had more money from the Feds.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, almost out of time. Looking ahead next week, we'll see. if any, what Wisconsin speakers speak to the Republican National Convention. And, of course, we'll highlight that. And Governor's Commission on Climate Change meets next week. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for August 21.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.